Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Welcome to the hit show Beyond Grief Radio with Angie Corbett-Kuyper on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Are you struggling with loss? Are you willing to challenge everything you've been taught about life and death? Beyond Grief Radio is a space that explores beyond current self-limiting beliefs surrounding loss, offering radical healing which will come from the least likely of places. Join Angie on her journey, which includes science, medicine, and spirituality, proving that the body is merely a shell of our soul. It is possible to create an amazing life from the depths of pain. It is your life. It is your choice. Now, here's your host.
Hello, my beautiful listeners. On this day before Thanksgiving, I wish each and every one of you a heartfelt, happy, happy Thanksgiving. I know the holidays are tough for us, our loved ones who are physically not here, and especially during the holidays where suicide is most prevalent. I welcome the beautiful Dr. Joe Gallenberger. I am so excited for our show today. It is going to be sombering. It will have include hope, but it will also hopefully give you all ideas on, or just hope for those of you who have come under a loved one who may have taken their life. And I'm going to introduce Dr. Joe Gallenberger. He is a clinical psychologist with over 30 years of experience as a therapist. In 1992, he began to investigate psychokinesis, which I'm so excited to learn more about, which is the ability to influence matter, to bend metal and grow seeds in the hand using energy as directed consciousness. We'll get into that next week. But this unique energy is useful in healing. Dr. Gallenberger is a senior trainer at the Monroe Institute. He created the MC Square program to teach PK or psychokinesis and with energy healing and manifestation. And Dr. Gallenberger has a new book, which is called Heaven is for Healing, A Soul's Journey After Suicide. And he also has a new Ocean Heart CD that we'll be talking about as well this week and next, which has been very, very healing for so many people. So with that, Dr. Joseph Gallenberger, welcome to my program.
Thank you, Angie. Thank you for having me. And I wish you a happy Thanksgiving in advance.
You too. Thank you. And I read your book, and I have to tell you what an honor it is. And first of all, you have the best publicist. I sent her a thank you for Thanksgiving because she's amazing.
Yes, Sarah's great.
Yeah. And so and Dr. Gallenberger, do you mind if I call you Joe?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Awesome. And before we get started, do you have your book right in front of you?
I can get a copy.
Okay, while you get your copy, I'm going to go over, if you don't mind, I think it's important that we let my listeners know that there is a disclaimer at the beginning, and I think this is very important, and I was going to have you read it if you want, or do you want me to read it, which nothing in this book or radio program should be construed as advocating, promoting, or endorsing suicide in any way.
That's correct. And says, in fact, the book is a read the book entirely as recommended. It will be clear that suicide usually causes untold devastation in the loved ones left behind and significant consequences for the soul that departs via suicide. Publications, my own opinions on the subject. It is sold with the understanding that the author's not engaged in legal, medical, psychological, or spiritual services to the reader. If expert assistance is desired, the services of an appropriate professional should be sought. And then if people are contemplating suicide, we have the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is 1-800-273-8255. And that includes services for veterans. And Angie, I've called there several times just to test the line.
Right.
And somebody has answered in the first ring or two, and they've been very intelligent, compassionate, and ready to be of service. So it's a good referral source.
Oh, thank you so much for that, Joe. And this is on the very front part of his book. What we are going to be discussing is we are going to delve into the dark part of suicide. And then next week, the light part of life beyond a suicide. So, Joe, you didn't just happen upon this journey of enlightenment, if you will, or writing your book, Heaven is for Healing. Your brother, Peter, took his life. Can you tell us a little bit about Peter and your relationship prior to his suicide and maybe some of the struggles?
Sure. Well, Angie, to be honest, there was quite a bit of depression in my family. So I think we had a genetic load for that. I was personally depressed starting 5-6 years old into my 30s. That was Peter's burden as well. And he also had a lot of trouble finding work, even though he was intelligent, hardworking, honest, and through a series of business failures and things, was getting financially strapped. He had also had somebody hit him, T-bone him in a car. And so his left side was in chronic pain and had some disability in an arm. So about 25 years ago, he had lived with me in my office building as a therapist on the upper floor for a year or two, and then moved out to Las Vegas, hoping for work to be better out there. At that time, 25 years ago, the town was booming. But when he got out there, he found that if you ever declared bankruptcy, which he had done, you couldn't even get a job at a 7-Eleven as a clerk because of the whole way they handle money out there. So he was struggling out there. I visited him a time or two. He tried to put the best face on it. Then one Monday night, I got a call, and it was the Las Vegas police. And they said, "Do you have a brother, Pete?" I said, "Yes." And they said he had shot himself in the head and died. I couldn't believe it, but I could. And so shaking, I said, "How do I know you're not making this up, and give me a number to call back?" Yeah, they said, yeah. "Certainly." And I took the number down. When I dialed it, I was shaking so badly, I dialed wrong a couple times. Began to be hopeful, but finally got through, and they confirmed it was the Las Vegas police. So rapidly after that, I needed to call my parents, which was one of the hardest calls of my life, and then went down and told my 6-year-old daughter they really loved him, and the whole process began. And Pete and I were very close. I think I would call him my best friend as well as my brother. We were always... it was a high-achieving family, but we were always very bonded at kind of being the black sheep a little bit. We, though raised Catholic, we were the two that did not go to church at that time. We were kind of the people that would experiment with things outside of the usual in the family. So it was a very staggering kind of loss for me.
And I can relate with the catholicity of, and especially in suicide, the fact that we both were confronted with suicide and coming from a Catholic background. Mm-hmm. And my listeners, for those of you, because I've talked to so hundreds of you all, this is why I'm so thankful, Joe, that you are on the program, because if I were to still, be stuck in that religiosity, I would believe that my son and that my husband were not even welcomed to whatever side, if you're even looking at heaven, if you're looking at hell, if you're looking at, you know, but the judgment. And so what I liked what you had said is the devastation, you guys, that not only suicide, presents, but Joe, the dark, and I was in tears when you said not only did your mom have to go through the suffering, and you guys, I'm going to tear up here because as a mom, not only are you saddened by the suicide, but then the connotation by a religion that you grew up with was a double whammy. And Joe, we have about 3 minutes. Can you get start a little bit on the dark side, especially the Roman Catholic Church, where they're not even allowed, you know, suicide victims are not even allowed to be buried in the cemeteries. There's still that stigma attached.
Well, again, my mom did feel like, you know, her son would be in hell for all eternity. And that is, you know, indescribable type of loss. When I look back and research for the book, even from Roman times into early European, it was considered a crime and the relatives' properties were confiscated. In 17th century New Orleans, according to a ghost tour I took down there, they would take the person's body, torture it in the church, and then put it on wagon wheel and run it around town to wear off the hands and feet, and then take the rest of the body, chop it up to pieces, and put it in with the alligators, because that was unconsecrated ground, which would allow demons to be able to torture the soul for all eternity. And suicide is still a felony in many countries. I don't want to pick just on Catholics, if you will, because many of the other Christian religions also have that type of a very dark, negative attitude, and it puts everything in shadow.
Yeah. And the newest terminology as well, which I've learned since the suicide of my son and second husband, was it going along the same lines. It's still a felony. It's considered completing suicide because if somebody was caught attempting suicide, they were actually committing a crime and they were actually put in jail. And so we go back and forth. Is it committing or is it completing? Either way, it's suicide. And it's a tough one. And Joe, we're getting ready to head into break. We're at our first break. I can't believe how fast it's already going. How do people find you?
If they go to the title of the book, heavenisforhealing.com, they will go to that'll take them to my main website and it'll have the book and the CD Ocean Heart and other things we've talked about that are good antidotes to the depression and anxiety in one's life if you were thinking about suicide, but also healing if you've had a loved one or friend. So heavenisforhealing.com is good. And the book itself is also on Amazon if people would rather do that.
Excellent. Joe, thank you. Thank you to my beautiful listeners. And we'll be back with the beautiful Joe Gallenberger when we come back.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher, Sarah Luce, brings her unique style to the hit show, Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuce.com.
Introducing New Soul Science, an introductory course with Ruby Betty, offering profound wisdom alongside radically simple concepts and techniques that collapse time, allowing instantaneous personal transformation. The foundational techniques of this introductory course reveal the profound inner ability each human has to access and fulfill their individual soul script or soul promise. Awakening this ability leads to the mastery of one's destiny. The concepts are totally original, immensely powerful, and completely revolutionary. They ignite an infinite fire within each listener, fueling one's ability to live out their unique soul promise. Are you ready to become more aware and access amazing personal transformation? This course is available now at rubybetty.co.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
Are you ready to embrace your essence and the magic of who you are? Let me, Emily Perkins, hold your hand and walk with you as we go treasure hunting for the gold that lies within you. Tune in to Love Living Radio every second and fourth Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit LoveLivingHolistics.com.
Have you been searching for a push to step out and share your gifts with the world? Allow Charlene Hess to empower you to start shedding the layers of your ego that are holding you back and begin feeling connected to your heart so that you can shine your unique divine light and share your gifts with the world. Tune in to The Charlene Hess Show, Living on Your Heart's Edge, every first and third Friday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit CharleneHess.com.
Welcome back, my beautiful listeners, and I am on the program with Dr. Joseph Gallenberger, and before our last segment, we were talking about the quote-unquote dark side of suicide, and Joe, you were not, I mean, this is not, like my son would say, this is not our first rodeo. You've had significant loss since Peter as well.
Yes. My mother has died. My father, my brother John died of an ALS type of illness. Of course, I've had many pets die and other kind of things as well. Loss is part of life. The issue here is, you know, that suicide with its woulda, coulda, shoulda feelings that it's left in the loved ones behind is quite torturous. I worked as a psychotherapist for 30 years, and I think some of the people dealing with left after somebody had a suicide in their family is some of the stickiest grief and more isolating than almost any other human event. Most losses, people band around you. Often in suicide, even people close to you, let alone your, you know, peripheral friends and community, often leave you alone because there's such shadows of shame. Even the families often keep the cause of death secret. And it's an epidemic now in our culture, and we're not handling it well. In Europe, they're setting up big places for people to go who are suicidally thinking, as well as families and loved ones left behind. And here, it's very hard to even get a discussion going about this topic. Frankly, you know, with my other books on manifestation, like Liquid Luck and things, I've been on probably 300 radio shows, and I'm a guest that people like to have back. Been on Coast to Coast, I think, 7 times, but 90% of those shows would not do a show on suicide. They'd only do it on the abundance thing. So it's still buried in our culture, and it needs to come up in the open.
And I remember when I was when Nick had died, and it was so interesting, Joe. And as a psychotherapist, maybe you could share this. I felt, and the word that kept coming up was contagious. It was I felt, and the people around me who had also experienced suicide as well, we felt contagious. And I'm going to go to the introduction of your book where you had mentioned Deborah Green when she lost her father to suicide. And I absolutely love this. And I was in a puddle of tears. She shares her story. But what I love what she is, just the simple acts of kindness. And you all, I challenge you to read Joe's book, because it is so, if you're finding yourselves in the pain and the depths, this book is so healing. But she talks about the simple acts of kindness, not, and I added my own conjecture here, not words of, it's not words made in the well-intentioned thoughtfulness and unconscious ignorance. It's the acts of kindness. Don't run away from us. How did you feel, Joe? Did you kind of feel that same way when you lost Peter?
Well, a couple things there. Yes, she would note things like she found out about the suicide while she was shopping in, I think, Whole Food Market or someplace. And people offered to drive her home, helped her, you know, in those kind of ways. And I'd echo the reading of the Heaven is for Healing. I'm getting quotes from people such as, this story touched me so deeply in parts of my heart that I've never felt anyone could reach or understand. I never felt so understood or embraced. Your book has brought me more peace and comfort than literally any other forms of consolation received. So I'm loving to hear that, because I'm piercing through that isolation.
Yes.
In my situation, I felt personally isolated because I felt like I had to keep going on for my daughter, my parents, and my wife, and my psychotherapy clients. And yet our family did beautifully with this. Nobody accused one another. And people did band together, see each other more often. We were scattered around the United States, call more often. So the family itself became a nucleus of support. Friends beyond that, that tended to fade out of the way. They did basically leave us alone some. But some of it we did ourselves. You know, my brother's funeral, I had to talk the priest into actually having one because of the suicide. But at the end of the service, we walked out the front door, never realizing there were 200 people in the back of the church that would have opened their arms to us. We were in such grief, we just didn't even see it. So this reaching out you mentioned, if it's very active, you know, rather than, is there anything I can do for you? Say, I'm going to come over for pizza and I'll leave it on your front door. Or if you'd like to talk, I'd love to have the pizza with you. You know, that type of thing where you are going to come over and help clean your house. And unless you get a strong no, try to do something active that really says, I'm there for you.
I love that. That is, it's what I call in the book that I'm coming out with in the next few months. And it's a chapter called Conscious Giving. And it's when we don't just, I pray for you. Those are such shallow words and they mean well. But what do you be the answered prayer, you guys? It felt, and the joy that I received, Joe, and you probably feel the same way, I'm putting words in your mouth, but when I knew what I wanted, what would have helped me during those early days of grief, I then, when I was able and standing up, was able to offer what I would have loved somebody to do for me.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. Go ahead.
You know, and it changes very rapidly. You know, there's shock. You walk like a zombie through the preparation of the funeral and the funeral. But then, for example, right after the funeral, an hour after we got home, we planted a tree in Pete's name, a Bradford pear. And my wife, my mother looked out the window and smiled the first time I saw her smile after this news. And she said, that'll be beautiful in the spring when it blooms. So it was something tangible and concrete. And then 2 weeks after that, you might begin to get into the tiredness. I've never been more exhausted, even having mononucleosis illness as a kid, that as the months went by, the tiredness was so great. man, it took me about a month to stop crying every day. Then you hit the first holiday season. One of the things that a lot of people don't understand, Angela, is when psychologists look at this, a lot of the initial grief is trying to close your heart off so you won't be hurt again. Because, you know, Pete, I might not have seen him for 3 months, and I wouldn't have missed him if he was in Europe having a good time. So that a lot of that initial reaction is anticipatory grief, if you will, that I'll never see this person again. And then trying to close the heart to protect from pain. And we'll talk later, but I got some ways that are more elegant where you can keep your heart open and yet and be protected.
Oh, I love that. And that's what you say on page 97, you guys. It's a chapter in his book called Echoes. And he said, it is a strange concept. Much of the emotional torment immediately after death is based on anticipation of the future. If the person had gone away for a long trip around the world, we would miss him, but not be devastated. It is amazing to me how much our idea of what will happen often colors how we feel today. And so, Joe, with that, we can get into it a little bit. We've got about 3 minutes, but can you give us a suggestion then? I mean, because I know some people, you know, some of the naysayers would say to me, well, Angie, you can't just wish he was over in Europe. That's wishful thinking. I realize that, but you're going at a level that's much deeper than just he's over in Europe.
Yeah, I'm using that. I'm not saying to fantasize that at all, but right. Just saying if a person was gone for a few months because of some happy event, we wouldn't be in grief at missing them. So it can be useful at least to realize that, and then to begin to realize hopefully that maybe they're not as far away as we think, which we'll get into next week, ways to feel connected. So initially the ways might be to take out photographs of the person, to write a letter, and just begin in a journal, you know, dear Pete, I hope you're okay where you are. We'll be all right here, but it'll take us a while. My 6-year-old daughter has great wisdom. She on the plane on the way up to the funeral said, Pete's coming to me. And he says, he's okay. He's just worried about all the grief he's seeing at home and that he'd always be with her. So she could kind of receive a psychic message from him, if you will. Yeah, might have been wishful thinking, but, you know, at the beginning, try to keep connection, perhaps, through photographs, etc.
Yes, I agree.
People telling stories, you know, people telling stories to honor him or her.
Oh, that's, you know what, that is such great information, because I think, and we'll go into this, into the feeling stuck or some of the emotional pain. One, I have seen so many people want to hide the pain and wish it away through alcohol and drugs and possibly suicide themselves. And the pain doesn't kill us, Joe, right? We're still alive. It hurts. It hurts like a mother, not going to lie, but to sit with it. And we've got about 30 minutes, you guys. We'll continue this part because I think it's really, really important. But once again, if you want to connect with Joe, heavenisforhealingalloneword.com. And Joe, talk to us about your sync creation.com. Is that a place you want everyone to go as well?
Yeah, they can go. That's the main website. And I guess I have 7-8 CDs out that help with the feelings and feeling abundant and creating positive reality in your life. And the sync creation refers to a home study course that goes very deeply into tools to get rid of grief, loss, fear, and to raise higher and higher heart energy and live your life from that place. And that comes with 3 individual coaching sessions with me. So you have a choice from a few books, and there's free tips on the website. And there are also CDs that are under $20 to listen to that are meditation ones. We can talk about, they're specially made. So even if you're not a meditator, you can get a lot out of them. And then all the way into the home study course, which is extensive.
Excellent. You guys, thank you so much for joining Joe and me today. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com.
Ignite your inner magic on Grow Your Soul Radio with Jane Matanga. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Jane Matanga explores how to overcome your fears to help you gain the inspiration you need to awaken your path to joy. Learn the way to life mastery and the enlightened path with Grow Your Soul Radio. For more information on Jane Matanga and her work, visit enlightened-path.com.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. We are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232 or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Have you ever wondered if there's a way to heal the deep, hidden inner issues, wounds, beliefs, and traumas? The Journey into Spiritual Healing engages people in all areas of their lives to heal themselves and others. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Dr. Jaffe brings conversations of healing of body, mind, and spirit as he merges the excellence of traditional medicine with the beauty of spiritual healing. For more information about Dr. Jaffe, this show, and his work, visit drjaffemd.com.
Welcome back, my beautiful listeners. We are with the beautiful Dr. Joe Gallenberger. And on the last segment, he was sharing with us some of the ideas about how we can start to heal from some of the trauma that suicide presents. And he had talked about planting a tree after the initial shock, maybe planting a tree, keeping a journal, photographs. And you guys, I've talked to several of you, and my suggestion before I bring you on, Joe, it's my own opinion, in my own humble opinion. I have heard so many of you who are wanting to move out of the house right away, and you're wanting to get rid of all the photographs, and you want to throw all the clothes away, hoping that you don't have to feel the pain. You guys, these memories, these trees, the Bradford pear, the photographs, the art, the house, they will become your comforting welcome. Not right now, but Joe, can you allude to that? You can tell I feel passionate about it.
Yes, everybody's different. You got to do what serves you, but rather than do something permanent, if you felt like you wanted to put things away, just put them away in storage. Then yes. Later on, you may change your mind. The difference that you can do at different times, you'll need different things. At the beginning, pretty quickly, I think it will be good to set up a program to take care of yourself much more than you've ever done in your life. That might be physical touch through massage, even though when you get touched like that, you might start to cry. Going out in the beauty of nature, writing things down. I think very much for me, what was helpful is I already was a very experienced meditator. So right after that phone call, when I got that my brother had died, within a half hour, I laid down and put on one of these binaural bead or hemi-sync tapes we'll talk about next week, and moved into deep relaxation very quickly. And when I did, I felt kind of an angelic consolation. I didn't feel my brother. There was no vision, but it just felt like something was supporting me. And that feeling carried through the plane ride up to my folks' house where the funeral would be and kept us more calm and centered while the rest of the family was in greater turmoil. So meditating, whatever way one might do that, walking in the woods, listening to the CDs I mentioned, the one I have called Ocean Heart is designed to help you heal from great loss or feelings of betrayal by really working with keeping your heart open and having a new image of the heart as a vast ocean of love. And if somebody came in your life, it's like putting a hand in water. And if they leave, the water goes back to complete. Perhaps you lose a drop. And that image has helped a lot of people more than the idea in our culture of a broken heart. Because a heart really doesn't break and, you know, it keeps beating the rest of our life. But that self-care at the beginning, you know, and for me, I naturally didn't want to really look at my own feelings. I wanted to make sure my daughter wasn't too upset, my wife, who was very fond of him, my parents. But it's tempting to ignore yourself. And yes. You can't help long term unless you keep feeding yourself some consolation, peace, and beauty. And many people with grief will say that, you know, everything was like barren, in a fog, but the beauty of nature could pierce that, or the beauty of some music could pierce that. So use that as your lifeline.
Yeah. And the two of us going through these suicides, we know what that fog is. And I allude to a jello mold, Joe. The initial onset for my experience was I just felt it was, and I want to cry a little bit, not going to apologize, but bear with me. But it was like the whole world just went on its business that my son didn't even exist. And that everybody had forgotten him and that he was never on this world. And I was going crazy because I had no proof that he was even here. And I think that was the hardest part. The second, Joe, and I love that you're talking about self-care. I also go to, you know, the airline stewardess in the middle saying, you know, when the oxygen mask comes down, place it on yourself first before placing it on your child, because you're no good when you don't have oxygen and you can take care of yourself. But Joe, my question to you, self-care. How does one care for self when they're still going through that? Caring is always supposed to, we were taught, most of us, that self-love was selfish. Can you talk to us about the difference between self-care and selfishness?
Sure. Self-care, it's like true humility versus false pride. It's an idea of really honoring yourself as a being created by God, if you believe in a God. If not, at least realize what a miracle you are to have 50 trillion cells in your body, hundreds of millions of them leave every day, other ones come back and replace, and you keep singing the song of life. That, you know, to realize really how marvelous creature you are and every one of us is. And selfish is more, I want all of the cake and I don't care if you don't get any. And, you know, this is, and living in a family of seven, you know, sometimes people felt that way. But it's more of I'm going to honor being a creature of God, if you will, and I'm going to care for him myself. The first thing you got to stop is the self-torture and suicide. This, I could have loved my brother better. I should have called him. Why didn't I pick this up psychically that this was going to happen? Those questions go on and on and on. And that creates almost like holes in our aura that we're just bleeding our energy out of. So that we want to first be very compassionate and say, you know, everybody has a path, everybody has free will. I know I love this person who has left, and I know I could have done it better because everybody can always be more perfect. But I'm not going to get on my own butt about this. That's the first step. I'm not going to self-torture. Second is what feeds me, beauty and nature, classical music, or maybe pop music, hugs from friends, massage, swimming, physical activity, dance, whatever it is. Begin to do that, even if you don't feel like it, and see if you can move through it. If you're just too tired, yes, lay down and rest. If you take 3 naps a day, no big deal. For a while, you might need that because your sleep at night may not be all that good. If you need somebody to come clean your house for a while, but another person might get consolation by cleaning. So you really got to tune this to yourself as an individual, how much active, how much rest, how much connection with others, how much private time to care for yourself best. If there were a time to ever be selfish, it would be then, if you want to use that word. But I don't think it is selfishness. I think it's self-sanity.
Yeah.
If you go down the tubes too, then nobody benefits from that.
No, exactly. Oh, beautifully put. And regarding most of us have a very difficult time accepting help. as a clinical psychologist, do you see that, Joe? It's difficult because I think we've been programmed that we're supposed to do everything, especially women and mothers. You know, I have to take care of the kids. I've got to do this. I have to tell you, if it weren't for Zach, my 17-year-old son now, he wanted a dog. And I'm like, hell no, I can't even take care of myself, let alone get up and make him, breakfast. And I had to push through that. But you know what, Joe? It helped me because it gave me some needed structure to care for someone else. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, and caring for another is a good way to get out of your own ego and out of your own self-absorption. But there are different kinds. Like if I join the board of directors of a youth organization, there's lots of paperwork and politics. If I went and helped to teach disadvantaged children to swim, the second lesson that I came, they'd give me big smiles and hugs, right? So in grief, you need something where the bounce back of energy towards you is very vivid, tangible, and quick, rather than doing something that you put out tons of energy, drain yourself, and it may be not even appreciated. Those things are very valuable to do, like be on board of directors, but in grief is not the time to do that. It's time to connect with others in a way that you get meaningful contact back.
Yes, thank you for that. That is so perfectly said. And this is what, it's a good segue. We only have about a minute, you guys, for our last segment with Joe until next week. 30 seconds now. Thank you, Carter. You guys can find, we'll go into this in a moment, regarding the work that both Joe and I have been called to do because of this loss versus what life would probably, right, Joe, deem responsible. But you guys, once again, go to heavenisforhealing.com. You can learn all about Dr. Joseph Gallenberger. His main website is Sync Creation, S-Y-N-C, creation, all one word, .com. And we come back, our last segment, and we'll talk about how our lives have changed because of suicide. Thank you guys for joining us, and we'll be right back. Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
Would you like your next chapter to be free from fear and angst? Tune in to Your Next Chapter Radio, navigating through life's transitions with Shelley Ryan the fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shelley's contagious enthusiasm guides you through life's transitions deliberately, mindfully, and funnily. For Your Next Chapter coaching or to listen, visit YourNextChapterCoaching.com or call 602-617-8351. Next!
Our angels and animals are always working for and around us. Darcy Pariso knew from an early age she felt this incredible presence that was confirmed for her in a Reiki Level 1 course. From then on, she has honed her skills and dedicated her talents to providing answers, inspiration, and tools for people to move past limiting blocks and past traumas to truly live a life of happiness. For more information about working with Darcy, visit DarcyPariso.com.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Like the branches of a tree, universal knowledge, insight, and wisdom must be weaved together to bring forward to others. If you live in the Western Washington area, you will want to make the trip to Auburn and visit the new Alchemy of the Goddesses Center. Now open and offering healing sessions, classes, crystals, books, oils, and more. Find out more about the center, visit alchemyofthegoddesses.com. That's alchemyofthegoddesses.com.
Welcome back, my beautiful listeners. Oh my gosh, Joe, I can't believe our final segment is here.
It's going quickly.
Yeah, it's going really quickly. Joe and I decided on break that we were going to bring you guys this last segment just a little bit. And if you guys have questions or concerns, please email me or you can contact Joe as well, Dr. Joe Gallenberger, with your questions, with your concerns, whatever you guys, if there is something that's out there that you want answered, we would love to answer some of those questions. In fact, before we kind of go into how Joe and I have taken these suicides and we've transformed them into something that could have crumbled us and leveled us, I like to use the word leveled. You guys have seen buildings just leveled where, you know, they just blow up and from the bottom, but the top kind of crumbles down and they're just flattened to absolutely amazing experiences. But Joe, you had written such a beautiful poem on page 121. So before we start going into the other side of death, which will start next week, would you be so kind and read in your beautiful voice,
sure,
the Tired and Tender that you wrote January 20th, 1992.
Okay, so this is after you've been doing the grief for months and months, maybe a year. This was a poem about my feelings then. called Tired and Tender. Death leaves the living tired and tender. Twilight time often catches you, but bright sunlight too is suspect. Sweet ache longing returns again and again, even to the strongest of men. You swim through your sea, rounding to places you shared with the now dead. The restaurant at the far end of town, the closet where clothes were hung. Tired and tender, those places produce a swell of sweet suffering. You want to remember all you can to try to recapture the essence of man. Each memory opens the sad scar, yet gives you him back. He can't be far. You go through this. There is no choice, hoping uncertainly, fearing defeat. The afterlife becomes paramount. It is a place of reunion and a rest from so much tiredness.
Oh, Joe, thank you for reading that. That is just beautiful. And I remember reading it before we were preparing for this program, and I was just in tears. You are a beautiful, beautiful writer. Thank you for sharing the intimacy. I think I was sitting here shocked when a man said feelings all in one word. And I think that is death makes us feel.
Yes. In fact, in the book, what I decided to do, I approached this as a psychologist, as a person with logic, with also intuition and heart. But I felt to keep it real, it would be good for me to write a poem at the beginning of each chapter, even though I'm no poet. And that's why the poems are in the book.
You're a poet. You don't even know it.
Yeah. That's the old stuff.
And you know what? In this, and I love this one that you had read, and you guys, this is going to be a great segue. You want to remember all you can, try to recapture the essence of man. And you guys, we're all human. It is okay to cry, and it is okay to fall on your knees, and it is okay to grieve as long as you need. And this, Joe, I believe, is the biggest struggle when I hear people say, well, my friends or my family tell me that it's been long enough. So yeah. What do you say what would you say to my listeners who hear this every day? Oh, get over it. It's been long enough. You're stuck.
Yeah. So what you do want to do is listen to them if you're stuck in a particular pattern, such as only anger at the doctor or whatever it would be. You're wanting to move through sadness, anger, sorrow, bereftment, hopefully some shiny spots, sense of humor and laugh occasionally, but that you're wanting to see that you're continuing to move along. But for death of a child, for suicide, those kind of things, that year-long mourning period where you wear black, often it's longer than that, unfortunately or fortunately. It just takes longer. I think it was 5 years before I thought of my brother only with a smile on my face most of the time. Mm-hmm. So, you do check on yourself and make sure, am I stuck? If you are, go and talk to somebody. Go to organizations such as Compassionate Friends if you lost a child. Talk to folks who understand this. But give yourself the time you need. And there's a temptation sometimes that, like you've mentioned, to distract yourself from the grief. Writing this book helped me not do that. Each person has his own way. But if you find yourself just plain over busy and I don't even want to think about or talk about it for week upon week upon week, that would be a sign you might be avoiding, especially if you don't feel so good, that if you feel hollow and tired. True grief, these tears, most times when we cry about something in life, the tears help and we feel better in 20 minutes. With suicide, no, the tears feel very bitter and raw. And when you finish crying, you may not feel any better that day, but it'll help you long range.
Yes. And you guys, we're speaking from experiential experience. We're not reading from a book. Joe lost his brother. I lost a son and a spouse, all to suicide. So technically, Joe, we have kind of the whole gamut of the nucleus family right there. Yeah, suicide. And so you guys, we have about 2 minutes left. I think, is that, Carter, is that right? Could you let me know? I think it was, we have a little bit longer.
Yeah, I saw it. We're getting close.
Yeah, so you know what, you guys, oh my gosh. So going in, Joe and I are going to take this in to next week, Joe, where we are going to go into the second part of Heaven is for Healing, where we, both of us together, you guys, talk about how suicide has changed the way we live our lives, right?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, there's a lot of positive and good there, particularly as we look at the potential for our own reactions to be positive, as well as what might happen to our loved ones after they do suicide.
Yeah. Thank you so much, you guys. We are completely out of time. Joe, thank you so much for your genius, for sharing your soul, for sharing such a deep, intimate, once painful, still once in a while painful grief. But I feel there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and I can't wait to explore that with you next week. You guys,
I look forward to that too.
Thank you, Joe. You guys have a happy Thanksgiving from all of us, and we'll talk next week. Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Have a good Thanksgiving.
You too.
Thank you for listening to Beyond Grief Radio with Angie Corbett-Kuiper. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Angie shares through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind that creating anything is possible, even in death. For more information or to listen to past shows, visit AngieCorbettKuiper.com. That's AngieCorbettKuiper.com. See you next time.